And so you all should have an index card in front of you, something that looks like this. And we would like you to write a definition for sustainability using one word. And the reason why the project team is interested in this is because they want to make sure that when they come back with the draft plan for you to review, that they've been able to incorporate kind of your big picture idea. And if it ends up being two words, that's okay. Even three, but the idea is just like a couple of words. And so I just want to give you a minute to do that. And members of the public, we have index cards for you too, so you can participate. And same with those on who are participating remotely. There should be a poll question coming up soon where you can type in a word or two definition for sustainability. So I'll give you all a moment to write that down. Steve, do you want to sing?
No, I won't sing.
I also should mention if we have members of the public who are participating by phone, that you can email answers to these questions throughout the workshop. And the email address is it's pretty easy to remember. It's sustainability@scvwa.org. So April, do we have anyone on the phone? We do. Okay.
We actually have about 5 out of the 10 that have responded. So whenever you're ready for me to close the poll, I can press
Okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. So again, for those on the phone, it's that you can email answers to this question to sustainability@scvwa.org. And we have team members who are watching that email address so that we can report back. Okay, I'm looking at our directors and it looks like you have written a word or two down. So we're just going to go around and you can share your answer. And I'm going to record it here on our chart and then we'll just continue to proceed with our next module. So, Director Armitage, would you like to go first?
Sure. So I did two words.
Okay.
Available indefinitely.
Available indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
Oh, indefinitely. Key correction there. Okay. And is that all those are together? Okay. So available indefinitely. Okay. Thank you. Director Ford?
Perpetuity.
Perpetuity. Director Kelly?
I was going to say that, but I couldn't spell it. Actually, I put security.
Security. And Director Brownstein?
I hate these games. lasting balance.
Lasting balance.
Reliable or reliability? Just reliability.
Reliability. Okay. And President Martin.
Well, I exceeded the one word limit, but continuous mission accomplishment.
Continuous mission accomplishment. These are awesome. And Director Gladbeck. Long lasting. And Director Plambeck? A continued balance. Okay. That's great. And Director O, I said I could just say Director O. Director that would
fine.
Be okay.
That's fine. Output management.
What kind of management?
Output management.
Output management.
Just a side question. Have you conducted these this kind of forum before with other agencies or other companies?
We always customize the format. So we never just like pull a format or like this off the shelf and just keep redoing it. So this was every time we do something, it's always customized.
Okay, thank you.
Forever. Director Colley?
Yeah, so somehow in the military, my hearing got a little bit, so I heard sentence and one sentence instead of, sorry. So ability to continue on a selected path.
Oh. Ability to continue on a selected path. And Director Goodzeit.
Efficiency.
All right, I'm really glad we did this because these are really great terms, and I know the project team's gonna be able to like be looking at these and make sure that as they're putting together this plan that it really reflects their ideas. And I'm gonna post this up so we can just keep looking at it. But you know, there's different. Some of you talked about, you know, looked at sustainability from a time perspective, from a resource management perspective, balance, efficiency, reliability. So thanks for doing that. And we have some answers from our public who are participating remotely, and that's on the screen right now. And you can see the words that they provided: teamwork, thoughtful management of water, lasting forever, cooperation, and future supply. We are going to move forward to the next module and get a little bit deeper into the hearing more and talking more about the components of the sustainability plan for SCV Water. But I did want to just take a break to see if anyone had a specific question for Matt about his presentation and the initial remarks that he made.
I have a question.
Okay, maybe we'll go here and then we'll go over to you, Director Aikens.
What is the official definition of sustainability? Or is there not one?
Director Goodzeit, that's a really great question. And the next slide is going to dive into some of those types of definitions. Okay. So you're right on time.
Okay. Director Aikens, I believe you have a question. Thank you.
Matt, good job on your presentation. When you talked about battery storage, first, what type of battery storage? Tesla battery storage? Which type of battery storage are we talking about?
Thank you, Director Atkins. I believe you're talking specifically about the SGIP projects, the self-generation incentive projects here at Rio Vista and Earlschmidt Filtration Plant. Our consultant is designing those contracts specifically with to go to bid to determine what types of technology, but their preference is Tesla Powerwalls. However, there might be comparable technology that has a similar reliability and capacity for us. So I'll wait until those contracts and RFPs come back to us.
I would suggest that you proceed conservatively because battery technology is changing dramatically. And in the next 5 years, we expect to have amazing battery technology far above what's available today. So if we get too crazy down the road with millions and millions in battery walls now, we'll have to reinvest later on. And that's probably not the wisest use of the ratepayer fund. So just proceed conservatively.
You bring up a good point. In a project they worked on in Los Alamos, we use sodium sulfur technology. And those things, if you've ever seen one, are about the size of a semi truck on its side. So, and they're massive. And so, yeah, exactly. In just 12 years, we've moved from sodium sulfur technology to lithium ion and other types of storage capacity. And I imagine that we are looking at, much like the computer market and solar market, much more efficiency, much different types of technology. So we'll certainly look for the most cost benefit, but also technology that meets our needs and fits within the scope of those projects.
Yeah, four to six different sources I've been studying talk about no electrolytes, solid state batteries that they're calling them the forever battery. I'll talk to you after, but it's pretty amazing.
Do we have any other questions? Okay, project team, you can proceed.
Great. Before we move forward, I'd like to just again reintroduce Julia Groth, Water Conservation Specialist, who's going to provide an overview of some of the amazing research that she did since joining the agency in 2019. So, Julia, take it away.
Thank you. Next slide, please. So before we dive further, we wanted to ask, what is sustainability? On the left, you see a word cloud that was generated by the SCB Water Green Team, the Executive Management Team, and the Water Resources, Outreach, and Education Departments to summarize what sustainability means in one word. As you can see there's definitely some overlap with the word cloud that we came up with today. Sustainability is defined as meeting the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And when applying sustainability to an entity, business, or agency, such as SCB Water, sustainability is adopting business strategies and activities that meet the needs of the enterprise and its stakeholders today, while protecting, sustaining, and enhancing the human and natural resources that will be needed in the future. Next slide, please. In 2019, we formed a green team with 10 SCB Water staff from different departments across the agency to meet quarterly to discuss department sustainability activities and to help with employee engagement and sustainability efforts. This group also worked to develop an action plan for our sustainability efforts with objectives such as launch the green team, which we did, develop a communications plan, and conduct a sustainability assessment, which would involve a greenhouse gas assessment and identifying potential sustainability measures, both currently being implemented at SCB Water and new ones that can be taken. Next slide, please. The Green Team has worked on agency-wide sustainability efforts, mostly pertaining to education and engagement of staff, including sending and posting a fact sheet with three ways to be more sustainable at work, an e-blast with tips for a more sustainable holiday season, a commuter survey to determine how often and how far employees commute every day to work, and to be a leader in drought preparedness, we conducted an indoor and outdoor facility checkup at all SCB Water facilities where showerheads and aerators were replaced with high efficiency models, leaks were fixed, irrigation timers were turned down 15% in compliance with the governor's orders, or voluntary orders, and irrigation issues were flagged and repaired. Next slide, please. To start planning for the development of our sustainability plan, we conducted research on 8 sustainability plans and 2 sustainability reports from other water agencies, cities, schools, and other organizations, including the Inland Empire's Utility Agency, Harvard University, and LA County, just to name a few. We also analyzed 127 measures identified in the American Water Works Association's The Green Utility, which provides sustainability plan framework and components for utilities. From there, we sorted sustainability measures into categories ranging from water, energy, to materials and waste categories. On the right, you can see one of our results from the comparative analysis and feasibility analysis for the water category, where we rank the feasibility and effectiveness of potential sustainability measures. Measures were ranked both qualitatively, such as quantitatively, such as measurability and cost benefit, and qualitatively, such as if it's already in place at SCV Water, alignment with the strategic plan, how many years it would take to complete, and if it's a common measure among other sustainability plans that we looked at. We also utilize EPA's Energy Star Portfolio Manager for benchmarking facility consumption and researched other materials such as LEED, WaterSense, and Energy Star. While these studies and analyses were insightful, our early approach to sustainability was reactive and measure focus rather than part of a strategic framework working towards specific goals. We identified that there's a gap and that we needed a sustainability planning document to guide our efforts. Next slide, please. And then I'll pass it back over to Matt.
April, if you could just stay on, go back to the previous slide just real quick, because I think this is important. What you're looking at on the right-hand side, that graph, is just the water measures that you can see are kind of somewhat organized by temperature, where green is highly advantageous measure based off of the quantitative, qualitative analysis we did, down to red, which didn't seem to pan out very well for the agency. Plus, you could see all the various different components. Again, I think it's, I just want to make sure that we share that 127 measures were done in this type of analysis. This is just the water sector. Julia mentioned that there's transportation, there's land, there's waste, there's human resources, all these types of measures that are identified by the AWWA's, the green utility that we looked at. But again, if you look at those measures and you say, what are we currently doing? What are the opportunities? You might find yourself thinking that perhaps we're swinging in the dark if we don't put this in the context of how we best attach these measures to the mission and the vision of the agency. So again, that strategic framework link needs to occur. The why, here's all the things you can do, but why? What are you gonna get out of it? How's it gonna affect your mission? And how's it gonna improve your ability to serve water to the customers today and tomorrow? Next slide, please. Yes, sir. Yep. And that's on the left-hand side or on both? Let's see. Use up water through distribution. You know, I'll have to look at what the AWWA manual identifies that as. The definitions are not included in the chart, but I will get that definition to you so we can identify what the specific measure means. Yeah, well, we have those definitions marked down. What we wanted to show here, and we went through again 127 measures, so I may cross reference those in my mind, but I think unidirectional flushing certainly sounds like flushing the system. It could mean the timing of the system during flush, and perhaps reusing that up water through the distribution. That may be what that use up water through distribution is when you do the flushing, maybe putting that water to capturing that flushing water and putting it to some sort of beneficial use. But I'll look at the definitions. They're very detailed in the book. So, okay. But again, the key component here. Oh, sure.
Thanks. Sorry, can I ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
Is this plan for actions that are taken at our agency's facilities and buildings only, or are we talking about everything that happens in our service area?
Yeah, I think we're going to dive further into those measures and their impact. But I believe that what we're dealing with specifically here, if I could put a general statement on it, is the resource consumption component of delivering water. And so that could be specific to internal activities such as if motor efficiency, those battery storage projects that I talked about, but could also be external conservation. That is certainly not something that we're saving. When we help customers save water, it impacts our energy demands through pumping and treatment. But that's certainly the measure is taken by external actor, by external customers. So it's combining those things together into how it will combine and meet the agency's mission and reduce, essentially get to the least amount of materials to provide the highest quality of service. I imagine that would be the simplest way to say it. Other resources as well. Okay, next slide. You can't look up the measures at this point. That's okay. We'll just continue. So again, we were looking at those measures and we realized that we had quite a bit of opportunities, the things that AWBA said that we were doing. Currently, we already had those in plant, and there was a lot of opportunities that seemed like perhaps they would be attainable by the agency, and they were smart, meaning that they were, you know, time-based, they were measurable, they were attainable, they're relevant, and so on and so forth. But when we took a step back, we realized again, what is the framework out there? What are other agencies doing, and how can we get some localized expertise? So I reached out to the USC Sol Price School of Public Policy and asked their grad students to for their capstone project to assess water agency and other public agency sustainability activity in the state. And this was a service that was provided to our agency at no cost. And again, that was completed in 2019. They did consider common measures, including establishing the sustainability manager, which the agency has done, conducting annual assessments, which some of that has been completed, but I don't believe it's been completed to the level that is certified through the EPA's Energy Star Portfolio Manager, and then conduct feasibility studies for smart practice implementation. That analysis, that report is available. It's something we presented to the Water Resources and Watershed Committee shortly following the completion of the report. And so that has a presentation from the group, a full written report, as well as a communication briefer that they provided to us, again, at no cost. Next slide, please. So, again, turning back to something that I think has been in common through this, we have measures, we have objectives, but now we look at kind of what are our planning needs? What types of gaps do we see in the planning effort so that we can connect the dots for the most optimal beneficial plan development for the agency? And that includes an internal and external environmental scan. In this case, we're not necessarily talking about the environment in the traditional sense. Instead, we're looking at the sustainability environment, what technologies are out there, what is the mandates and requirements, what are agencies doing, what are things that we can't adjust, what are things we can adjust and accomplish, and how is the world changing, and what types of needs are changing, and how can we best meet those needs. In addition to that, there's mandates and requirements. Do we want to have plans in place and measures in place that help us accomplish mandates beyond mandates? Again, these are things we need to understand that are we in line with that, and are these mandates specific to us? Plus, there's relatively relevant policy impacts. I was doing some back of the envelope math, and I think in order for us to supply 100% of our agency's electricity with solar, we would have to purchase about 26 megawatts. This is, again, back of the envelope mathematics here. At about $2.5 to $3 million per megawatt, $75 million, you could get completely renewable, reliable energy. Except our system that we have is 4.5 megawatts. Where would we build it? How would you finance it? Is that really what we need to do in order to accomplish our goals? So again, we want to make sure that whatever our goals are in line with those relevant policy impacts so that the agency can identify strategic investment opportunities that maximizes its needs, the opportunities, and aligns those with the changing environment as we know them. And Erica is going to provide some more information on that there is a changing environment. Also, there's the identification of alternative funding sources. There are quite a bit of new grants and other types of incentives for sustainability and renewable energy projects and storage projects. So quite a bit of money coming down the pike. We needed measurement and verification tools, and we needed expert eyes that could help us put these analysis that we had done into context of all of these things I just mentioned. And so these gaps, these planning needs helped us, really gave us guidance to say, we need to find a professional consultant expert that can help us align these things and has that vantage perspective for us. And so we reached out to Rincon, and we've been working on the sustainability plan since May of last year. Next slide, please. Sure.
And hopefully you're just going to tell me that it's coming up and I'm going ahead. But actually, I was thinking about what Director Atkins said and some of these general questions. And the definition of sustainability, it seems like that definition presupposes what the future is going to be and what, you know, preserving resources for the future, et cetera. But I'm thinking back to like the city of Santa Clarita was huge on hydrogen for a while, and then it went nowhere. At least currently it went nowhere. You talked about the batteries. It's like, is there an assessment of both, or is there going to be like both life cycle assessment for project, like again, batteries or battery powered cars specifically are actually 40% more energy consuming than a gas car if you look at the source of the electric, like where it's coming from, like coal powered plants and all that for the average US. So life cycle, not great, you know, mining, all that other stuff involved with batteries. And then, you know, which is going to be the future? Is it going to be hydrogen? Is it going to be solar? Is it going to be nuclear? How is all of this going to be decided? Or is there a shorter time period that maybe we should look at where things are more certain? Is that coming up? Or
yeah, I think there's going to be discussion about the changing environment and market for electricity, and specifically those that impact us locally. And that may go into a calculation process of the determining life cycle costing process is very specific to the agency, very specific to localized energy source production, and then also very specific to our accomplishing our mission. So I think those mathematics are very important. Certainly, we do have to understand that we are dealing with the world of possibilities here. And so in a sense, you were talking about hydrogen, how hydrogen maybe didn't pan out. That may come back.
Right.
You know, it certainly might. And the bigger issue was that there was leadership in the sense of taking sustainability and being sustainability leaderships and providing that service at a level that reduced its emissions and maybe help kind of stir investment in that market. So there's some opportunities there. Nonetheless, though, I think the larger framework is that we do want to take this information and synthesize it into our analysis, so we're making the most strategic, optimal decisions for the agency.
Right. So yeah. So that'll be taken into account. It's essentially what you're saying.
I believe that's the goal. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the purposes of this workshop is for the project team to hear from the board about your ideas of metrics and vision, and hearing like those sorts of considerations that you think are important for them to be thinking about as they analyze different kinds of projects.
Thank you, Director Gutierrez. Great, great question. And really appreciate the engagement from the board. These are fantastic questions. So to conclude my presentation, you know, the sustainability plan development, some high level key points is that we want to align with local, state, and federal requirements, their position with future grant and funding opportunities. There are many grants, including the Water Smart grant from BOR, that gives the agency increased points when scoring our grant application if we have a sustainability plan that addresses these functions. So one of the things we did in developing the scope of work with Rincon is we made sure that the development of the plan met those boxes and complied with those things that kind of set that teed up optimal funding opportunities and improved scoring position for the agency. So there's a context and alignment there as well. We want to develop emissions inventories, forecast emissions, set targets and evaluate those options, conduct a measure analysis. We've already done one, but I think we need to revisit that. It's been I want to say before COVID when we first looked at those, but it was quite the lift. But certainly want to look at them again in context of these things that I've mentioned, and then create annual reporting, which would include performance management and measurement paradigms so that we can learn, adapt, and again, help the agency move into that larger term outcome and impact of sustainability. Finally, next slide, April. Finally, again, for the board's privilege, as well as those on the call, here we are today in May. We are having the SCV Water Board of Directors workshop. There will be a public workshop, so there'll be another opportunity for the public to participate and provide comments in June and July. Plus, there'll be a draft plan and 30-day public review in July, and then we are looking for adoption, hopefully, from the board in August, September. Next slide, please. I'll turn it over to Joan. Thank you very much.
All right, we do have another question for you, and we're going to use the index card again. Does everyone still have a blank index card to use? Okay, great. And again, for those members of the public who are here with us virtually, you also will be able to answer this question. And April, if we can please go to the next slide. One more, please. Okay, the question we have for you here is, you heard from Matt about SCV Water and sustainability and some accomplishments. And so we thought it would be important to ask you, what is an SCV Water sustainability accomplishment that is noteworthy to you? So when you think about what SCV Water has accomplished to date, what do you think has been particularly effective, important in meeting the mission or other goals? So we'll give you a moment to write that answer down. You can use more than one word for this one if you want. And then we'll go around and share answers again. And April, if we can put that poll question up for the public too, so the members of the public can participate. Thank you. For those on the phone, you can answer the same question and you'll want to email your answer to that same email address, sustainability@scvwa.org. And again, for those who are on the phone and can't see the screen, the question is, what is an SCV Water sustainability accomplishment that is noteworthy to you? Okay, it looks like you all have written down an answer or in the final stages of it. And so we'll go around again and you can share your answer and we'll keep notes. And again, like one of the reasons why the project team wanted to ask you about this is because hearing what you think has been particularly effective and noteworthy helps the project team in doing that evaluation of programs for the future to bring back and recommend for you. So I want to mix it up a little bit. Director Planbeck, would you like to go first? All right. Solar energy generation. Use of native plants to reduce water. Yeah. Vice President Gladbach? Okay. President Martin?
It's a lengthy one, but in my opinion, the
SCV Water Sustainability Accomplishment, primary one, and most important one in my view, development of a diverse water supply portfolio and conservation program that allow SCV Water to meet all forecasted demands at to full build-out of the SCV.
Right, the diverse water portfolio.
Yeah.
Dr. Atkins?
Well, the word sustainability appears to be
Okay.
BJ, can you use your microphone? Yep, thanks.
Shall I start over? Good. Basically, reliability, it all boils down to reliability, in my opinion. So we've done three things, and we were all, or many of us, were able to enjoy a celebration from Dirk Marks. The banking and transfers we've done equals sustainability to me because it bolsters reliability. The second thing we've done, and kind of leading the way in my opinion, perchlorate and PFAS treatment. And the third are these solar farms, which were just discussed. So just another check to solar, please.
Thank you for that. Dr. Brownstein?
So I wrote three things. I wrote solar panels, PFAS treatment, and recycled water.
Okay. Dr. Kelly?
If I had eight things, I guess that would be too much, right? a lot of our accomplishments we couldn't do without water law. So I think supporting and creating water law that's going to allow us to become more sustainable in what we're doing.
And just to confirm, Director Kelly, you said water law or law? Law, okay, thank
law.
You. Okay.
Director Ford?
I
have
recycled water.
Dr. Amatosh?
So I think most of you took all the more obvious ones, but I will add that I did have, having a dedicated sustainability manager and conservation team, I think has been really key and important in what, as well in decreasing demand.
Dr. Goodside.
So I took a little different approach on this, and I appreciated the transition in our mentality to going to reusable water and advocating for refilling stations, you know, that tap water is okay, that type of thing, getting away from bottled water, I think was something important that the agency has talked about. And on a related note, I'm going to take editorial license and talk about future because I didn't make this comment. Waste reduction is really important and achievable. And I didn't see that on any of the slides, but I hope we move towards more waste reduction.
And you'll get an opportunity to fill that in as we go through the workshop. But I'm just going to add that separately.
So less here. Bottles and then ultimately less trash.
Oh, yeah. All right, we're gonna come back over here. Director Colley.
Almost forgot my microphone. So when we talked about the solar project, I wanted to make sure that we remember Devil's Den. Right. We're working on solar projects there. I don't know if it's an accomplishment that we do hope to get that done. There's a lot of little things that we have done over quite a few years, even beginning back like the 9 out of 10 work days. That's certainly takes a few, you know, takes 10% of the trips off the road. More currently, we've allowed our employees to work remotely more often. And again, that takes lots of our employees off the roads. It's been years ago that we instituted waterless urinals here in the in this facility and others, I believe. We updated our light fixtures. Another thing that I think is important to remember is our water banking programs up in the Kern County area have a huge positive environmental impact in that those aquifers have been drained for over a century, and our assisting in refilling them is a huge ecological advantage for our state as a whole. So just a few of the things that I thought of.
Good, thank you. Director Cooper.
Well, everybody took the ones that I had as we went along, so I changed mine as I went.
Okay.
But you know, this company has had a real commitment to water treatment technology. We build these facilities to last for 100 years, and we want the highest technology to provide the cleanest water we can. So I think that commitment to water treatment.
Good, thank you.
All right, I'm going to pass on this one. Quick question, Mr. Dickens. The Sol Price School of Public Policy capstone project that was done in 2019, was that done by undergraduate students or graduate students?
Those were done by folks that were wrapping up 2 years of rigorous study and to get their master's degrees, so graduate students.
Okay, understood. All right, thank you. That's all for me.
Well, thanks for your input on this. I know the project team appreciates it, and we're going to keep moving with our workshop. I want to pause. So does anyone else have another question for Matt and the team before we go into our next module? Yes.
Oh. Director Gladbeck, that's a great question, sir. Essentially, when you go through your program, you study various different components of public administration or public policy, ranging from public management to nonprofit management to leadership to collaborative-based governance, all these types of topics. And then you, at the accumulation of your degree, you take all those lessons and all those research and whatnot, and you're assigned a project and you research it. I remember when I did it, I had to do 25 research projects a week to provide a literature review. And so they build a team with an academic advisor to develop a capstone so they can accumulate. It's basically the accumulation of their studies before they graduate.
Yes.
Okay. I understand that this is a workshop, but will we hear any comments on grid liability and energy pricing market and futures today?
We're getting ready to get into, I think, a little bit more, Director O. It's another good question. What we're going to dive into, Erica Lennard here with Rincon, is going to dive further into energy consumption, material consumption analysis they've done for the agency as part of the development sustainability plan. But there certainly will be additional opportunities once we get past these fundamental and foundational components to add specific elements as well, such as scanning for the changing environment and the market prices, as well as perhaps the collapse of solar and NEM 3.0 and those other types of things. So we definitely are keeping our eyes and ears to the ground, and that incorporates into our analysis.
Okay, thank you.
I do want to report back what our remote members of the public had to say about this question. So what is an SCV water sustainability accomplishment that is noteworthy to you? So we heard answers: updated customer-facing conservation program, not taking the river lake seriously, taking actions to protect water quality, creation of the green team, and new board members. So some overlap certainly with what we heard from you and from our board members. And just to recap again, a number of you talked about the solar installation being noteworthy and important, and some discussion from multiple board members about the importance of water banking and transfers and how that's had environmental benefits beyond water supply for the agency. Water recycling, water quality treatment, and then there were some good comments about actions that the SCV Water has already taken in relationship to staff and operations that have had a good impact on sustainability. Team, let's keep rolling.
Let's keep rolling. Although I do have one, I was able to find what use up water through distribution means for Director Cooper. I just had to open up the file here. Again, there's a lot of measures there. But essentially it means prior to cleaning tanks, allow water to be used through distribution system rather than sending it through the sewer.
So rather than just discharging it to the sewer, when you go to clean a tank, rather than just taking the water, discharging it to the sewer, you use the water first to the maximum ability. Yeah. I think we did. Yeah.
And that's why it scored relatively well in the analysis. All right. So moving forward, next slide, April. And I believe at this point we can pull up the next presentation. Again, thank you for your feedback. I'd like to take a moment to recognize both the appreciation of the board's feedback on these questions and taking time to hear the robust rigor and research that we've conducted. And also want to thank those on the call or attending virtually for providing that feedback as well. We really appreciate and value your input. So now I'm going to hand it over to Erica Lenard, PhD with Rincon Consultants. We'll discuss approach for sustainability concepts.
Thanks, Matt. And thanks, everyone, for having me. I'm really excited to be here and the opportunity to talk with everyone. Next slide. Oh, sorry. Is that better? Are you able to hear me? Excellent. All right, next slide. So for this next module, we're going to go through a little bit more on the foundational side, talking about sustainability planning in terms of what are the benefits, take a look at sustainability planning in the context of what the state is doing, other local efforts, and then kind of revisit those SCV water efforts that are occurring. We'll start talking about the structure of the sustainability plan, which is a big component and purpose of this workshop and what was identified by Matt of a gap to fill. And under that structuring, we're going to talk about how do we establish value-based criteria to make sure that we're aligning with SCV water's values and mission. What are different ways to measure success? How is success currently being measured when we talk about sustainability? And then we'll talk about some of the common metrics for measuring sustainability progress. And finally, we'll dive into a little bit on the sustainability strategy development. So start kind of big picture still, foundational, working our way down to some of the nuts and the bolts of what's been worked on so far. Next slide, please. All right, so I'm going to give another definition of sustainability. The American Water Works Association defines sustainability as a means of providing an adequate and reliable water supply of desired quality now and for future generations in a manner that integrates economic growth, environmental protection, and social development. And what this Venn diagram shows is really shows that intersection between that economy, environment, society, and there's a lot of benefits that come with sustainability planning. So on the environmental side, a lot of us are pretty well aware, and we've talked about it already, that this looks at better resource management, waste reduction, increasing resiliency of those environmental resources. But on the economic side, we also have a lot of benefits being sustainable and creating sustainability plans and strategies. Can reduce operating costs often. This helps manage assets, manage risk, also demand side management. And then you also have the society side of this, that with the environmental benefits and the economic benefits, those come together and you support a healthy community. Next slide, please. So in California, we have some additional benefits when we talk about sustainability planning. I also want to mention here that in California, our definition of sustainability is kind of looked at from a little bit different of a lens than just the environmental, economic, and societal interaction. So in California, largely when we talk about sustainability, whether that's at the state level or agency or industry level, this is looking at sustainability kind of through that climate lens. So a lot of the goals that are set in California are going to be related to climate, greenhouse gas emissions, but really that's just distilling a lot of the other resource consumption and metrics that we use down to a single metric to talk about it. And that's often how California kind of measures sustainability progress. With that, we have some additional benefits on the environmental side by sustainability planning kind of in the context of the state that we're in. This can help address some of those future regulations or anticipated direction that the state is going before it gets there. So having a plan in action in advance helps to already be prepared. On the economic side, there's also a lot of funding and grant opportunities or loan opportunities that are focused on sustainability planning efforts kind of with that climate lens. So for example, in the most recent May revision of the governor's budget, there is approximately $32 billion to continue to advance the state's climate and opportunity budget. Really, this is just talking about including some equitable climate solutions, protecting communities, supporting energy reliability, also looking at water resiliency, drought response. It's a whole host of sustainability efforts that are being encompassed underneath that. But being able to access some of that funding does depend on kind of having a sustainability plan that lines up with California. And then also on the societal side, developing a sustainability plan really shows a lot of the sustainability leadership and the great things that are already occurring. Next slide, please. So what does some of the sustainability planning look like at the state level? How is the state doing this? There's the Department of Water Resources and the state, the California Water Resources Board, which are both taking sustainability efforts, and they're primarily aligning with the state's sustainability goals. Since the state does commonly talk about sustainability goals in terms of kind of that climate lens, a lot of the goals or the resolutions that are being passed through the DWR and Water Board are setting similar goals and taking actions that tackle sustainability through that lens. But really what that means is just a lot of the projects and the programs that are occurring are ways to address some of the pressures and vulnerabilities that are on water resources, whether this is identifying mitigation adaptation strategies, improving operational efficiencies, infrastructure reliability, and improving resource management. So the DWR currently has a climate action plan set, and this plan and the efforts include the development of a greenhouse gas emission reduction plan, a vulnerability assessment, and then developing a climate program that implements those adaptation and mitigation strategies. Also, one of the things I wanted to note here is that under this climate program that the DWR has established, that the distribution of the Integrated Regional Water Management Grant Program does put some of the eligibility for those award criteria on that plan, having addressed sustainability through the climate lens. Right. Next slide, please. So beyond just what the state is doing, there's also a lot that's kind of occurring when we look at the localized levels and what different water agencies in California are doing to meet their own sustainability goals and develop sustainability goals. Some water agencies like Metropolitan and Coachella Valley Water District are setting up plans that align with the state goals with a focus of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by a certain level, by a certain time that lines up with both the state and the DWR. But we also have a lot of other water agencies that are addressing sustainability efforts under a different context, whether this is looking at reducing energy consumption, focusing on energy reliability, both energy and greenhouse gas emission reductions. So for example, the Diablo Water District, they've recently passed a regulation requiring that the direct emissions from their activities are carbon neutral by 2027, and then we'll continue to annually track greenhouse gas emissions. It's kind of their metric that they'd like to use. Whereas some of these other agencies are focusing more on the energy aspect that has a similar tie-in. Next slide, please. All right, and then before we move on, we're gonna break this up, and Joan has a question for us.
Yeah. I know we've some of our earlier questions have already hit on this question a bit, and so we'll just do more of a roundtable on this. And I'm going to bring the flip chart back out. And so the question is, we're interested in hearing some of your insights and perceptions on what is SCV Water accomplishing sustainability goals look like? So if somebody has an answer to this question and would like to share it, that would be great. We're just going to jot it down on the flip chart for the team. And same for the public, we have a poll question set up, so you can answer this question for us. What does SCV Water accomplishing sustainability goals look like? Director Cooper? Balanced portfolio that meets the needs of the future of the community now and in the future. Also, so we have someone who's taking notes, and we want to make sure that we get everything you say documented. So if you can make sure to speak into your microphones, that would really help our note taker a lot, so we don't miss a single word. Director O?
If we can go back to the previous slide.
Of course.
All right, so it looks like we have two tracks. One, aligning with Sacramento and what's presented there in terms of emissions. Another track in terms of sustainability is getting our own, producing our own energy, you know, one way or the other. And my question to the team is, some water agencies are moving towards the Sacramento side, and some agencies are moving towards, in simple terms, producing their own energy. Which track would provide us with the most amount of grants from Sacramento and from the federal government?
Thank you for that question. So I would say that right now that there isn't necessarily one track that's better than the other. I mean, if you're working on your energy portfolio, that also has some of the greenhouse gas emission reductions, and it's still focusing on resource management. And so preparing a consolidated comprehensive sustainability plan that discusses the various different strategies, whether that's, you know, whether you're looking at waste reduction or whether you're looking at energy portfolio, however you are meeting those goals. And as long as that's kind of laid out in the comprehensive plan, that's often what the grants and the funding opportunities are looking for. They're looking for there to be tracking tracking is occurring. They're looking for a comprehensive plan that's measuring progress in a clear way. And then just the development of goals and measures that are aligning with the general census of where the state is going. But it doesn't need to be explicitly at this point.
All right. You know, my understanding is we're going to receive some regulations from Sacramento enforced by different agencies in California regarding emissions from vehicles, and there's not an option to opt out of that. So in that way, if an agency decides to go that way, I mean, you're already moving towards that way. There's no going back. Is that being considered by the team?
Yes. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, but you are correct that with some of the fleet rules that are coming down the line, those are something that there is a greenhouse gas reduction benefit that's associated with that, but that is also making those efforts now and kind of setting up that in the plan is still a sustainability effort that's being undertaken.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm thinking, can I write on the chart here, consideration of grant funding opportunities and upcoming state regulations is something important for the team to be thinking about for the plan?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, if we're going to have a sustainability plan that can provide us with grants from state and from the federal government, that'll be very helpful for our ratepayers.
Joan, Director Atkins also has a comment.
Director Atkins, please.
Actually, it's just a follow on. You were just asked which track has the best chance of gaining grant funding. And I'm asking which track has the best return on investment for our ratepayers. I mean, and I'm going to ask the doctor, if you were a ratepayer in the Santa Cruz Valley, would you have a preference as to track which would be better for me in 20 years in terms of return on investment? Energy or greenhouse gases? I'm not asking you to answer right now. I'm saying that's the nature of the question I'd like answered. Although you're free to answer right now if you'd like.
Thank you. That is a great question. And I think we're going to get into that a little bit more. And that's part of when we get into the strategy development of also looking at the data portfolio of SCV Water and what does that data portfolio currently look like? And then making sure that the strategies are being developed with where is this strategic investment? And I don't want to spoil surprise, so I'll wait until we get into it a little bit.
That was a good non-answer.
And I think just to add on to that, to Director Atkins and what Erica is saying here, is that we realized when we were analyzing these measures that we needed to look at all these various frames of reference so that we could find the optimal opportunities for the agency, because it may be a combination of a little bit of the both. And so the figuring that out is really critical, and RINCON has really provided great insight to that.
Vice President Glebeck, I think you had it.
Yeah, I would say by 2030, all of the source of all of our energy needs to be green.
The source of, can you repeat that one more time, please?
All of our energy needs comes from green sources.
So all energy from green sources. You said 2030?
That doesn't mean we have to generate it. You can buy it.
Director Goodsight?
A couple thoughts. I support the idea that sustainable water supply is really our number one. But what is us accomplishing our goals look like? Number one, that we have goals in many areas. So not just energy, not just water, not whatever the state wants, but targeted goals, and that we meet them and that they're communicated. So, and I really liked Director Colley's comment about, you know, human capital, you know, energy, waste. I think in some ways we need to stay on mission, which is water. But we also shouldn't just zoom in on a popular topic when there's low-hanging fruit in other areas that can make a big impact, if there is low-hanging fruit in other areas.
Okay, so and again, we're keeping detailed notes, but I just to synthesize, meet and communicate targeted goals and many goals of SCV Water, and then be realistic and look at the, like, look for those low hanging fruit. Director Bronstein?
Looking at the question, I think that accomplishing our sustainability goals would be our mission statement, right over here. I was trying to put it into words, and then I just looked up here. I'm like, oh, yep, that would, that's kind of what it would look like. And I also think that it is a balance between meeting the needs of our community and our environment. I mean, and I think that that's there when it talks about our water stewardship, that it happens in our environment, our community needs, and that could be our private consumption and our industries or businesses or whatever there is.
All right, so thanks for calling attention to the mission statement. And I know the team talks a lot about that too, and then balancing and meeting the needs of the community and the environment. Director Armitage?
So I know you talked about balanced portfolio, and I want to parse one portion of that out because I think it's particularly important, but I want to call out making sure that our groundwater levels remain at levels that are deemed useful for economic, environmental, and social values of the community.
So groundwater levels stay at levels that are environmental, economic, and socially balanced. Director Planbeck.
I think we're talking about two things here. We're talking about sustainability of the water supply that we're responsible for, but also how our agency, which is a very large agency, does its duty to start to reduce greenhouse gases. So I really like what Director Gladbach was saying, is we need to get to no clean green generation of energy by 2030. So you can put a check there. But also, it's not just energy, it's everything. It's waste, it's how you use, it's not using bottled water. There's so many things that would reduce the footprint. And then also, when evaluating projects economically, I think it's important to remember that some things start off at a higher cost and then in the end are significantly more efficient after years. And I think our solar panels would be an example of that. But I mean, if we don't address climate, if we don't bring the greenhouse gases down, we're all going to be in a world of trouble, and it's not going to matter how much money you have.
So thinking about all the different components to reduce the footprint of the water agency, and then thinking about the cost efficiencies maybe achieved over time.
Yeah, and then we do need to look at using water efficiently, which is, you know, the biggest thing the agency should be doing. But for an agency with 200 staff, there's a lot of reduction we can do, just like the county could do a lot of reduction. The city can do a lot of reduction. It's important for us agencies to do what we can.
Dr. Holly?
One of the issues I think that the state, and probably the country and world, face is the fact that we have a tendency to silo energy and water in two different places. So we're a water agency, and yet we are responsible for a huge amount of energy consumption in producing that water. I think back a decade ago when I put a solar project on my house, and less than a decade ago, and the tariff was such that the peak cost of power and the real problem producing power in the state was on the middle of a hot day. And today we have this thing is commonly referred to as a duck curve, which says essentially that the middle of a hot day in the summer is no longer an issue at all. We have plenty of power because that's the day the sun is shining and everybody got, we have these huge photovoltaic arrays and other solar power generation facilities all over the state and on many, many rooftops. We, in fact, not too long ago, were able to generate 97% of the state's energy needs with renewable resources for a brief moment in time. So when I look at this question, I think that somehow if we are able to better coordinate our work with the electric power generation, I think that that would be a major accomplishment. I think that the water industry in the state could and should have a lot more participation in the energy sector and making the energy sector more reliable and providing things. One of the things I constantly harp on is that pump back storage, you know, why we don't have many pump back storage facilities in the state, I don't understand. I mean, that's the best current technology for storing energy that we have. And it's very environmentally friendly in general, except for people don't like dams flooding valleys near in their backyard, particularly. So this, our getting more in sync with power needs of the state, I think, would be something that I would be in support of. And I don't know how we can do that because the for-profit power companies, it may be difficult to cooperate with them. But I think it'd be good for us to try.
Better coordination.
I'm oversimplifying. Better coordination between SCV water operations with energy sector and the needs of the state.
Sure.
Like I said, we are keeping the detailed notes. Director Kelly, I believe you had a hand up.
Yeah, I think the agency has grown tremendously simply because we've never had blinders on. We've always looked for the innovation, the future. And I think part of our diversification, obviously, is the banking program, conservation, recycle water, all these things that are extremely important to our community and solutions to a lot of the potential water shortages or water problems. So continuing to grow and think outside the box, I think, is a tremendous asset for us.
So continue to innovate and look outside the box. All right. Dr. Armitage?
Came up with three more. One of them is ensuring water quality remains high because if water quality is affected enough, it takes water out of our distribution system. The second one is, I guess, measuring how many customers participate in our conservation programs and therefore decrease their water use. And you want me to go to the third one or wait?
Go for it.
Okay. And the third one would be measuring how many of the new homes that are being built are adhering to the allocations that are allotted through the Model Water Efficient Landscape Ordinance.
Okay. This is all really helpful in thinking for the team to start thinking about metrics and how to measure sustainability. Did anyone else have anything else to share? Director Ford.
Thank you. Just one quick thing. All these ideas, I think, are extremely important. And one thing that would, I think, a sustainable agency will look like as well, too, is that we still have financial resources in order to maintain our water supply portfolio and maintain our operations as well too. When we built the solar plants, we did it so because we thought we were going to save some money on energy costs. Mm-hmm. And that was the goal at the time for why we did that. In the future, the state is mandating through SB 100 and through the renewable portfolio standards that by 2030, we'll be looking at 60% of the energy that Edison, the other public utilities, must generate has to come from renewable resources. By 2045, it's supposed to be 100% carbon free. So there will be external changes to the agency, and we have to maintain the financial wherewithal to address those things. It's going to be tough to have a completely renewable grid, and we may face times when we have to resort to backup power or energy storage on our own in order to address that. Then that takes financial resources.
Yeah, and I just wrote down financial resources while change occurs. Really interesting point, thinking about change in the future. Anyone else? President Martin.
Yes, my answer was simple. I'm pleased to hear that it's been mentioned a number of times. Water supply meets or exceeds demand. That's a simple illustration of sustainability at our agency. But I wanted to ask a question of the team. It seems to me that we have plans and actions that directly impact our primary mission, as you see above us. And then you have plans and actions that I would say, and maybe I'm using the wrong word, but that would impact ancillary goals, such as renewable power, reducing carbon footprint. Are those two sets of goals meeting our primary mission of supplying water to our customers, a reliable supply of water, and then accomplishing all what I refer to as ancillary goals of renewable power and reducing carbon footprint and some of the other things that have been mentioned? Are these things weighted? Is there such a, are we weighting things in the sustainability plan, or are they all given equal weight?
Thank you, President Martin. That's a great question because it does talk about primary as well as externality. The primary goals, of course, are to meet the agency's mission. And I would say that while certainly having reliable water supplies is critical to sustainability, how do you move those supplies to customers? How do you guarantee that the right professionals and the right size workforce and that's affordable, high quality? There's quite a bit that goes into delivering water that meets the sustainability. Renewable power not only has the externality of benefiting reduction of greenhouse gases, which has local, regional, and global impacts, but it also provides us with energy resiliency and redundancy to deliver our services through PSPS events and other types of components. So there's overlap, I would say, in those. To that extent, I would opine that I do believe we would weight these activities and externality to make sure they are the most advantageous, both through what Erica is going to go through here in these pillars, which I think you'll find are kind of along that line of the externality that are associated with sustainability and the efforts that we're mentioning here. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, I think yes, Matt. And I think Director Atkins hit on the return on investment question too, because that is at the lowest reasonable cost. That's part of our primary mission. So I appreciate your answer. Thanks.
All right, Director Hall and then Director Armitage.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I wanted to comment on Gary's question. I kind of hope that the point of a board workshop like this is for staff to hear from us somewhat of our appetite for expending more than the minimum necessary to achieve the primary goal on these. And I think I like your word ancillary goals. As responsible citizens, you know, how far should we, representing the people of this valley, push to achieve these ancillary goals? I mean, I can think of a million things that we could do that would help greatly. I mean, if we doubled our if every place we had a single tank, we put two tanks. If we had two tanks, we put four. We could pump water only during the peak day when there's lots of solar power available. We could avoid pumping at night or in the evening hours, and we would make a great impact on the energy grid by doing that. But alas, tanks are not cheap. They're not free. And so the payback, I don't think the customers I represent would be willing to spend, we talk about the $280 million of supposed annual debt. We might well get there if we did everything possible to minimize or to get to 100% green power. So I'm hoping that the answer to the question is that you folks are looking to the board to assist in figuring out what the appetite of the board and therefore the public that we represent is to push further into these areas. We've already done a lot, and I think that we can push probably a little bit further, but I also think there's areas that, like I mentioned, there, I can think of some things that I don't think we should do that might be beneficial otherwise.
And that is certainly a primary purpose of a workshop like this. Director Armitage?
Thank you. I'm going to piggyback a little bit off of President Martin's comment, because I've been struggling with this same question in my mind kind of the whole time as well. I feel like it's hard to tell because we don't have a plan of a document to read ahead of time. We're kind of just listening to this as you're sharing it. So I don't know that we're seeing the vision that you have on your heads, and we're trying, I think. But I feel like this kind of straddles between two different types of documents, either being a climate action plan, which focuses on the greenhouse gas emissions component, versus a sustainability plan, which then would have the greenhouse gas emissions component plus more. And I'm not sure what, I feel like we're more in the climate action plan world with this right now, with a little bit of water stuff thrown into it. So I feel like if it's going to be a true sustainability plan, I'd like to see the other components that are more related to water conservation added to that. In terms of the greenhouse gas emission components kind of being an ancillary component, I mean, I disagree. I think it's just as important as the water conservation aspects or the other water aspects. And one of the other comments I was going to save until later, but I'm just going to say it now, is I would love to see a reference to the most recent version of the IPCC report that talks about the dire importance of us implementing such sustainability measures that relate to greenhouse gas emissions. So I know there's a lot of great information in there that's actually quite scary to read, but I think it's really important to address it so it highlights the importance of making sure that we do have a plan to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and align ourselves with the state and the many other organizations that you've researched that are doing the same thing, because it's going to take a collective effort of all of the agencies like ours to make a dent and turn the Titanic that we need to turn. Thank you.
Director Goodsight?
Just a couple of quick questions to end. I'm remembering way back in the cobwebs of my brain that private sector normally uses a ROI of 10 years. I know government agencies aren't really held to that when judging projects, but I do think, you know, some kind of ROI evaluation would be a good idea rather than do everything we can approach, because resources and time are limited. So, you know, maybe there's a ROI component or a certain target when you're assessing things. Where, you know, things are ranked a certain way based on that. Given that, I would like to see, you know, other things evaluated as well, not just climate, because things like just trash is kind of my thing. I mean, you can save a lot of money just taking things out of the trash and put it in recycling or waste minimization. So there's things that benefit our customers in other areas besides just climate. So I don't think we should ignore things if they're, you know, beneficial financially or, you know, help the environment in other ways.
Dr. Brownstein?
I'm going to go back to our mission statement where it says responsible, reliable, and reasonable. And I think that those are very important criteria because I think that as being responsible stewards, you know, we need to make sure that we have reliable supply, right, at a reasonable cost. And how do we achieve that, really? And so I think that that factors into things that Director Gutzeit said, things that Director Colley mentioned. It's really that algorithm, you know, of figuring out how we maintain it. And I think that, yes, climate definitely has to do with it. And being responsible as stewards, I think that that kind of goes into it as well.
Well, I know the team is going to take us through the next component of the workshop, where you all are going to get to have the opportunity to dive deeper into ideas. And so why don't we proceed with that? And I'll just let you know too, when we get to our next discussion question, we're gonna change it up a little bit and you're gonna get a chance to get up and move. So I know you've been sitting for a while and appreciate your patience, but you're gonna be able to get a move around in just a bit.
Thank you. I just wanna say thank you for all of the comments. That is really valuable and useful. And I hope that also as we kind of continue through this workshop and go through some of these other modules that we'll touch on some of those components that were brought up. Next slide, please. So we're gonna step back just for a quick minute. I just wanted to reiterate some of what Matt had said earlier, is that SCV Water has a lot of plans already in place that are addressing sustainability efforts incorporated into these various different plans. And then on top of that, that analysis that was done of those formal and informal measures, I mean, as you can see, it's really tiny print and it's a big list of all of these different sustainability actions that are currently occurring. Next slide or animation. Really the take-home message that I wanted to point out here is just there are so many activities that are already occurring at SCV Water. And really what we're looking to do with the sustainability plan is to kind of capture the benefits of having a consolidated, comprehensive sustainability plan that captures all of what's already occurring. And there's a number of different benefits that come with having that standalone comprehensive sustainability plan. Next slide. So some of these, as you can imagine, it just streamlines everything into a single plan. So you're not looking through what are all the different things that we're doing in all these different levels. Streamlining helps with implementation and allows each of those to continue to be implemented and to be tracked more easily. Also, as we've talked a lot about, that the benefit of having a sustainability plan is the opportunity for this funding that you can show the sustainability plan and use that to get more funding to do more exciting sustainability efforts and actions and projects and kind of continue to meet the mission while continuing to incorporate those sustainability activities. The sustainability plan that also helps you to kind of see some of the operation optimization that could occur with sustainability actions across different sectors. Helps with identifying what is that strategic investment and where should you be investing or what would be the best place that meets the mission, fits in the framework, but also will be long lasting. And then having a sustainability plan is a great way to just showcase what SCV Water is already doing as an industry leader in a single identified comprehensive plan. Next slide, please. So as kind of our first step for developing this comprehensive sustainability plan, we took a look at SCV Water's strategic plan and the different goals that were associated or listed in that plan. And there's six main goals. What we saw when looking at this was really four core operational pillars, or the values that we saw being pulled out. We saw this as being reliable and resilient operations, having high quality water and resource sustainability, being cost effective and efficient, and then transparency and accountability for consumers and customers. Next slide. So a little bit of how our vision of how we see those core pillars interacting is that essentially each of these core pillars of operational pillars support sustainability and also support the mission at the end of the day. Next slide. So for this first pillar, the reliable and resilient operations, that's encompassing that goal B of infrastructure reliability, also parts of goal C of water supply and resource sustainability, by continuing to develop solutions and planning for issues like power shutoffs or fire, drought, energy shortages. All of that helps SCV Water to continue to have resilient and reliable operations and provide that water reasonably and affordably to the community. Next slide. So our high quality water and resource sustainability pillar that mainly encompasses goal C of your water supply and resource sustainability, as well as some of the objectives that Matt was mentioning earlier about energy assessments, looking at carbon footprint, resource management, kind of encompassed in there, and really just implementation of the programs underneath this pillar help to manage resources and can better manage demand, which will allow that high quality water to continue to be provided despite how our environmental landscape is changing and kind of regulatory landscape is changing. Next slide. And then cost effective and cost efficiency, that addresses being financially resilient as we move forward. So, you know, continuing to maintain long range, transparent, stable, well-planned financial condition. It's going to be important to implement those projects that are already, some of which are being implemented in programs that will reduce financial risk through both your resource management, increasing those operational efficiencies where possible, ensuring operational resiliency, identifying funding opportunities or places where you can support that stable financial condition. And then our last pillar, next slide, thank you. Transparency and accountability. This is really encompassing the mission to the customer and the community, and that's how we saw it, as making sure that SCV Water's values align with the values of the customers and the communities. Well, does include needing to be transparent and demonstrate that the decisions that are being made at this level are protecting the water resources for the community while still ensuring an equitable service and cost. And so all of those considerations need to be taken into account while building out this plan. Accountability can also be demonstrated by just setting those goals and then demonstrating that how those goals are achieved. Next slide. And so as we were saying, this is kind of our vision of how we see SCV Water sustainability, and we're looking to hear your feedback on this, how these core values and kind of operational pillars then support SCV Water sustainability, which, next slide, ultimately does feed into SCV Water's mission. Next slide. So kind of we're pivoting a little bit, kind of, you know, within that framework, the next step comes of, well, how do we measure success when we're talking about achieving each of those core pillars and achieving the goals that are within them? And so what we first did here is we just kind of pulled out what are some examples of what we are seeing of how SCV Water is measuring success. Next slide. So we are seeing that some ways that SCV Water is identifying successful, reliable, and resilient operations is making sure to have emergency preparedness, looking at asset maintenance and management. Next slide. For high quality water, what the water conservation programs, implementing those, meeting regulatory compliance. Next slide. To be cost effective and efficient, we're seeing and kind of hearing that some of the ways to measure success there are through optimizing operations, making sure that you're being efficient, as well as pursuing funding and financial opportunities when available. And last slide. And then when we're looking at transparent accountability for the consumer is, you know, customer satisfaction or kind of the establishment of those SMART goals, which Matt had touched on earlier about specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based. It really shows accountability if you set a goal that you can then achieve through kind of those strategies. And so this leads us in. I know that we were just at an engagement session, but this is leading us into our next one.
Yes. All right. So this activity is going to be a little bit different. And you all should have some post-it notes in front of you. And if you can see over here, we put up some little stations there that are marked by those pillars that Erica just talked about. So on that wall, there's transparency and accountability. And then as we move across the wall, reliable and resilient operations, high quality water and resource sustainability, and cost efficient and effective. So what we're hoping you can do for us is to use these notes to write down ideas of the way that SCV Water could measure success under these pillars. So for each idea you have on a way to measure success under pillar, write it on individual notes, and then you can go ahead and stick them under the different pillars. Now I'm going to add another board up here that says ideas for other pillars, because you all have had some really good discussion about like the core framework of the sustainability plan moving forward. And so I want to give you an opportunity to post some notes on other ideas for pillars or if you think something is missing in the pillar. So I'm going to put that up too. But the main idea for this activity is just fill out as many of these notes as possible on ways that SCV Water could measure success under these four pillars, and then you'll post them on the charts. And Jack, could you please explain how members of the public who are remote can participate?
Yeah, sure. They can participate by using the Zoom polls that have been appearing for other engagement opportunities, and then we will transcribe them and place them on the pillars in the room.
What is that rattling? Rattling. Can you hear the rattling? We need to do something with it.
Sorry, question, Dr. Leonard. So yes. It's my understanding that after this quick Q&A session, you will present with us with KPIs and how you guys plan on measuring them. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So from the project team's perspective, the more ideas they have on these boards, the better for them.
No, I know. It's coming from the private sector. I've been involved with a lot of KPIs that I would say for 80% of the time fall flat. you know, one way or the other. And so I guess I would like to see what you guys have in mind, and we'll definitely give you my feedback after a couple of days.
Yeah. I I see I see some notes still being filled out. So maybe we'll take another minute on this and then we'll move to the next step of this activity. All right. Thank you all so much for all of the answers. And this is giving the team a lot of important input for them to think about as they're thinking about metrics and, you know, Director O, your comment about making sure that the metrics and the KPIs are going to be workable, I think is very much on the projects team mind too. So I think that that comment itself is really helpful. And then we have an idea for another pillar. So we're running a little bit late on time, so I'm not going to do a lot of reporting on this because we do have one more activity. And so I'm going to hand this back to Erica, who's going to frame it up for us.
Excellent. The next slide.
Oh, Erica, can I just say something? We did have a couple of comments from the public for this, and they're on the board or on your screen right now. Reliable and resilient operations, local hazard pre-planning, high quality water and resource sustainability, moving groundwater. Those are ideas for metrics under reliable and resilient operations. And then we have a couple of ideas too for transparency and accountability. So what we're going to do is we're going to add those to the boards, but in a post-it note that's a different color. So we'll know which ideas are coming from the public. And Director Kelly, you had a comment? I just did it. Thank you for making sure I did it. All right, Erica.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing what are the different ways to measure success that are up on these boards when we have a little bit more time and to distill that information. Next slide. In addition to some of these that we have up here, what I am imagining may be on the boards in some capacity or not is addressing some things like, looking at cost, just resource consumption, staff time reduction, demand management. And then kind of in addition, what we wanted to talk about was a little bit, next slide, sorry, that for underneath all of these different pillars and for many of the projects and programs, there's a few kind of major KPIs that you can use to kind of measure what's occurring there. Oftentimes, when we're talking about sustainability, this kind of just distills down to resource consumption. So energy use, fuel use, water consumption, and these are pretty common to use when we're talking about sustainability progress, whether it's within a single entity or whether we're talking about sustainability progress in comparison to other entities. And so it's often helpful to use those common metrics to talk about sustainability so that you can have kind of that common lingo with federal agencies, state agencies, other industry leaders, and have a consolidated conversation about that. Next slide. Another thing that we wanted to kind of take home here is that a lot of these different metrics, which it's a little hard to see on the screen, but a lot of these metrics like energy use, oh, great, thank you. Water consumption, fuel use, a lot of these can also be talked about and converted to greenhouse gas emissions as a metric. And so this gets a little bit at that conversation of having, you know, when we're talking about sustainability efforts and then talking about greenhouse gas reductions and which are we talking about? We just kind of wanted to bring this up and point this out that actually you can actually talk about a lot of those efforts under a similar metric, which is great and has some benefits when we move into sustainability planning, but also addressing greenhouse gas emissions in an all-encompassing plan. So some of the benefits or why we would measure and track sustainability performance under these common metrics like energy use, water consumption, but then also as greenhouse gas emissions. Next slide. So again, this just provides that a single metric that allows you to kind of compare and quantify past and current sustainability goals across goals, across pillars, across sectors, whether you're talking about waste, water, energy, you can use a single metric. Next slide. It's also, as we talked about at the very beginning, that in California, kind of the way that California frames sustainability and often talks about sustainability progress is greenhouse gas emissions are looped in there as a metric of how you're talking about it. So this is just using that common language to have those conversations at the same lingo as the federal government, state, industry leaders, and allows for comparison across those different entities. Next slide. And we talked about this one a lot, including as part of a sustainability plan, the metrics of greenhouse gas emission reductions, in addition to other common metrics, is it opens up opportunities for some of that grant funding programs and opportunities, whether it's even just infrastructure programs that are in California, where they're looking to see that greenhouse gas emissions or climate impact are being addressed as part of that sustainability project or plan that's being addressed. And this can often include kind of a competitive edge. Next slide. This also creates a risk management for future state requirements that are anticipated to come down the line that are more directly focused on greenhouse gas emissions tracking for entities like water agencies. And then next slide, kind of our final piece here. This also just helps to identify strategic investments for both economical and impactful sustainability projects, kind of comparing against one another in addition to the overall data profile and what is the goal that you're looking for. Next slide. We talked about this a lot, so I won't spend too much time here and kind of move on. Really just wanted to point out there's a lot of different funds being focused on greenhouse gas emission reductions in California, as well as sustainability planning that loops that in as a metric by a number of different agencies. And so addressing that and including that as part of a plan just opens up those opportunities, which is great because then you can keep doing more awesome projects and programs. Next slide. Oh, that's the summary there of those opportunities. Next slide. All right. So after kind of talking about all these foundational things, now we're going to switch gears and we can talk about the actual nuts and bolts of the sustainability plan and what the plan will look like and is looking to accomplish and encompass. As part of the sustainability plan, it'll establish an inventory of operations using greenhouse gas emissions as a metric, along with other common metrics that we know. This will also forecast out what future operations look like, again, using greenhouse gas emissions as a metric to allow for that continued comparison. And then the kind of root of the plan is to develop that sustainability roadmap that consolidates the existing efforts that are occurring and aligns the strategies with SCV Water kind of underneath those core operational pillars or the operational pillars that are identified as being the core values of SCV Water, so that as those measures and actions and strategies go forward, that they are clearly within SCV Water's values and can be identified as such. Next slide. So for kind of our first data profile and the first step of the sustainability plan is establishing the baseline. And this is taking the readily accessible operational data of SCV Water, looking at electricity use, you know, vehicle fleet, waste generation, employee commute, looking at all of that operational data, and then just converting it into greenhouse gas emissions so you can look at it underneath a single metric. And what this does is this does allow you to compare across those different sectors with a single metric. And it also helps, can help identify what are some of the areas that you'd be looking at for greatest impact for sustainability measures. So just looking at this, we see electricity is a large component of SCV Water's operations. And we've talked a lot about that tonight of the energy use that's going into that. And so makes sense that that would be a location to focus sustainability measure implementation. Next slide. So from the baseline, the next thing is forecasting out those future emissions, still using all those common operational metrics and converting them into greenhouse gas emissions. But what we're taking into account here is what does future operations look like with anticipated increased in or changes in level of service. But it also incorporates in some of the state regulations and how the state regulations will impact SCV Water's future forecast and operations when looking at it through the GHG reduction lens. So for example, when you take a look at the future and the forecast, over time, greenhouse gas emissions reduce in the electricity sector from SB 100 with that increase in renewable sources that are coming online to the grid. So what this can help kind of point out is while you're trying to identify what are the different areas to be strategically investing in, this is just one piece of the puzzle, not the entire picture, but a piece of the puzzle of you can take a look at this and kind of start identifying what would be the target years, what areas you want to focus on. You can see that there's some areas that are not getting as much of a benefit from state level actions and remaining relatively the same over time. So that might be an area to focus on, as well as combining this with where are the funding opportunities and then for other goals like resiliency. So although we see electricity emissions reducing, there's still the resiliency aspect, which is kind of something we can talk about when we get to the strategy development. Next slide. So kind of on an overarching style of developing the strategy for the sustainability plan, it looks a lot like the strategic plan in terms of there's these large aspirational statements or your overarching goals, and then supporting those with measures that are more focused on whether it's specific sectors or more specific components of sustainability. And then each of those measures are supported by very specific actions that have associated KPIs, whether these are programs, policies, actions that have been taken into place to make those measures happen, which will then allow the goal to be achieved. Next slide. This is just an example of what are some sustainability strategies that we can talk about. So the way that this pyramid is kind of shaped is, you know, tackling what's the area where the biggest impact will be seen. Currently, and just in today's data profile, at SCV Water, a lot of the operations and GHG emissions are coming from the electricity. So focusing in on that 100% carbon-free electricity, it's kind of tackling that from today's picture, but there's also all of these other aspects to consider. And as you look at your forecast and you look at your inventory, and you look at going into the future, it's considering these different sustainability strategies and how you can use them to capitalize on efforts that are already being done. So for example, if your electrifying existing buildings, but you already have solar on site, you essentially are taking care of getting your own carbon-free electricity at the same time that you have resilient renewable energy that's happening with battery storage on site. Reducing waste, that aligns with what the state's goals are with Senate Bill 1383, but that also saves costs. Same thing with water conservation efforts, reduces water consumption, saves costs. Focusing in on things like electrifying a fleet, that aligns with regulations, but also reduces resource consumption. And so there's just a very, the point here is there's a lot of different ways to structure your sustainability strategies, and it's about identifying what fits within the values, what has that return on investment, what is going to give you the most benefit, and what's going to be the most impactful. Next slide. So kind of like leading into our very last engagement piece is we wanted to bring back up these pillars that we had initially identified of how we see the plan being structured. And what we wanted to just show here are what are some of the existing actions and programs or projects that are occurring at SCV Water and how we see them fitting within these different pillars. And then how we can continue to measure progress with things like resource consumption, greenhouse gas emissions, and then other common KPIs that are easy to attain. Next slide. So for a reliable and resilient operations, that the self-generation incentive program that's combining the battery storage with the solar, that is both resilient and reliable as it's happening on site. But you're also reducing greenhouse gas emissions associated with that. So it's kind of an added benefit there. Things like incorporating efficiencies with the HVAC software or doing the low impact design measures that are occurring also creates more resiliency and reduces emissions, costs, resource consumption, all leading to a more resilient future. Next slide. So under water quality and resource sustainability, those water conservation programs, those of course are reducing water consumption, but also things like the teleworking policy or the upgrading of the lighting for LEDs, those are all reducing resource consumption, which can also have your reduction in costs, increased efficiencies, and reduces greenhouse gas emissions. Next slide. Cost effective and efficient. Here, the energy efficiency efforts, there's a lot that have occurred when we were taking a look at the list. So we just kind of lumped them all together, but all of that helps with being cost effective and also does help with reducing energy demand that can be also help with resilient operations. Coordinating projects with other entities that are occurring as helps be more efficient and take advantage of kind of funding together that can help reduce cost. Next slide. And then under transparency and accountability, efforts like the water efficiency education program, while that's working with the customer and the consumer and aiding in education so that they make the change on their side, that can lead to that water conservation and reduction of water, which also saves costs and reduces emissions. And then I think we put electronic media on here as we thought that that was a great way of SCV Water is showing their own accountability and commitment to sustainability by sharing media electronically rather than through paper products or other physical means. So reducing waste and showing that same commitment that SCV Water is doing. And then with that, so these are just some of the examples of some of the projects that we saw, and we were hoping that this would just kind of start the conversation for our next and last engagement.
Yes, this is our last engagement piece, and we're gonna replace what we have on the wall right now with fresh sheets marked by the pillars, And we're hoping that you can do the same thing to put individual answers on this, the sticky notes, and then put them up on the pillars. And so the question we have for this final exercise is, what are future projects and actions that SCV Water could implement under these four sustainability pillars? So the last time we were asking about ways to measure under the sustainability pillars, but now we're wanting to hear your ideas about actual projects and actions.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, I think Director Colley had his hand up first.
I didn't look over there. I was looking at her.
Yeah. I'm having a great deal of difficulty aligning in my head these pillars with these environmental and conservation kinds of thoughts. I looked at that last slide and I thought you could just take any of those thoughts and put them under any of those different pillars and be just as, they would make just as much sense to me. So it's...
That's good feedback. I mean, that's really good feedback for the team. And so appreciate that. And Director Goodside.
And the joke was that people say they hate to agree with you so much, but I'll agree with you. Actually, I had a more specific question. If you go back when you're talking about, you know, so we're talking about metrics and ideas, and then bam, greenhouse gas is the metric. I understand that's the state's current hot topic, but I don't think that should be our only metric. I think, and then I was confused by the following slide where you showed the reduction in energy. And if I'm looking at ROI and you know, best use of our time, there's a massive reduction in energy, which I, if I understood correctly, was you said because of the state's green energy goals. So essentially we could do nothing and still have that giant slope down and reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, which is probably just, you know, eyeballing it, 75% reduction in greenhouse gas by doing nothing, because the state is going to make us do it. So it does seem to me confusing as to, you know, why to do other things like save paper if we're going to have this, if greenhouse gas emissions is our metric, we're told, and it's going to happen anyways, why are we here?
Thank you. Great questions and comments. So I guess there's a couple different things that I wanted to respond with. So we do point out that greenhouse gas emissions are one of the common metrics. And what we were hoping to get across there is that there's a lot of different common metrics that can be used, largely related to resource consumption or generation. Those often can be distilled down to greenhouse gas emissions. The sustainability plan will talk about all of the metrics, not just greenhouse gas emissions. We just wanted to highlight that by including greenhouse gas emissions as one of the metrics that you're measuring, that opens you up to some of the funding that is really looking for that tracking of greenhouse gas emissions specifically to be in there. But all of the other metrics should also and will be included as part of that.
I'd like to add something, Erica, if I may, because it's a very good question. And that chart that you're talking about, I believe it's on April slide 18. What that's showing you is that you're absolutely right, Director Goodside, that in absence of any other action, our greenhouse gas emissions, which are essentially the essence of all of this material, its very basic form. So you're breaking it down, breaking it down, breaking it down. All of a sudden you have this essence. Everything you consume has some sort of GHG emission attribute. And measurement that you can say this is this and here is its basic unit. So you want to measure both things. And that particular slide, what it doesn't show, even though carbon emissions are reducing, energy consumption is going up. So it doesn't, that's where we start looking at both things, because we want to make sure that we're going to include both those projects that balance that equation so that we get the most bang or benefit out of the sustainability components of smart energy projects. But just knowing that the GHG emission by itself, if we didn't have this analysis, we might be chasing other types of investments that wouldn't be the best or most cost effective for us. So I think it's a good analysis to have, just to see what's happening in nature so that we can make informed decisions going forward.
That's a really helpful explanation. Because yes, I could see, you know, emissions going down with us doing nothing, but that doesn't mean cost is going down, for instance. And on a related note, please include the technical backup for these greenhouse gas emissions. As a layperson / semi not layperson, I feel like, you know, if you say, oh, you're saving paper, well, that's so much greenhouse gas emissions. Where's that coming from? You know, or you're driving. I mean, I go back to the example I read about the electric cars. Well, is going to electric cars going to save greenhouse gas emissions, really? You know, where are we looking start to finish? Is it mining that lithium, making that car, shipping it over the ocean, you know, buying it, powering it? You know, is that really more carbon neutral? Or maybe it's over, you know, that year, but not the whole life cycle. I'd like to see the definitions behind our technical assumptions, because I think that can be a credibility issue. And I think we have to be, you know, not greenwashing and just be 100% technically accurate.
Thank you. It was great. Great feedback.
And I know some of you are writing notes, which is great. So when you have notes ready to post, just go ahead and walk over and put them up, if you could, please. And Director Colley, you want to jump back in?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention briefly that greenhouse gas emissions are not the end all. They're you know, one of the things that some people that are looking at further ahead realize is that things like our rare earth minerals are in short supply, and chasing greenhouse gas emissions typically drives up consumption of rare earth elements. And, you know, that we oftentimes in our world create ourselves new problems from the old problems that are sometimes worse than the old problem. So we really, as we need to be thinking hard about all these kinds of things and not oversimplifying the problem.
Director Cooper, could you please repeat that in the mic so everyone could hear it?
Oh, I was just commenting to Mr. Colley is, yes, he's absolutely right that the use of rare earth elements increases with the use of batteries. But those problems that develop out of that create new solutions come about. And new technologies that come about. So, yeah, I mean, that's history over everything, is how new things come about are through those kinds of problems. So, yeah.
Thank you for repeating it. I appreciate it.
We do have a couple of quick comments. First, Erica.
I just want to say thank you. That is a very valuable comment. What we were hoping to show is that with the sustainability plan, that although we do want to talk about greenhouse gas emissions because there is an important value associated with that. But as part of sustainability planning, all of those different KPIs are important. Measuring energy consumption, measuring waste reduction, generation, all of that measured together is how you can create a sustainability plan that addresses it from multiple different aspects and perspectives to get to the best solution.
Thank you. Dr. Rowe?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Director Cooper, Director Colley, and Director Goodsight. Dr. Lindner, evaluate or proofread the KPIs that you will develop in this plan? What's the process there?
So for the workshop that we're doing today, this is just to kind of set the stage, but then the next place that we come back with is kind of working in more internal, smaller groups of with different departments of what is a realistic KPI that that department can feasibly measure. So that way, you know, we're not shooting in the dark with something that's not measurable or achievable. And then that will help us to develop, these are the KPIs that we're measuring. And then we will often distill that down to what's a greenhouse gas emission metric associated with that. So that way we can link all of our different sectors together when talking about measuring progress. But that doesn't mean that it's only going to be greenhouse gas emissions for measuring progress. There'll also be those other KPIs.
Okay. Okay, good. So, I mean, you're using GHGs here just as an example, right? Okay. And Mr. Dickens, is our senior data scientist on your team, on your sustainability team, by any chance?
Not yet, but I believe that we could certainly approach Steve and the data scientist for assistance or inclusion.
Just a suggestion. Just wondering if she could take a look at the output from the sustainability team. Because, I mean, KPIs are really tough to develop, especially if you have a timestamp or if you don't have a timestamp. And since we're dealing with not only operations by finance, because we also want to know some, you know, return on investments, it can become very complicated. Okay, that's it for me. Thank you.
Do we have additional comments or input from board members? Director Armitage?
I'll just close my comments by saying thank you. I think it's fantastic that the agency is taking on working on a sustainability plan to help us identify how we can align with others that are doing the same work. Just a little addition. I think it would be helpful to add the next time this presentation comes before anybody, I think it would be helpful to add a slide on the purpose of the plan, just to have that defining statement. And then there was this in the second presentation, there was the slide with the three, the benefits of sustainability planning with the three circles representing economic, environmental, and society. Or I guess economy, sorry, this didn't print very well, economy, environment, and society, and how where they intersect, that's where sustainability happens. For the society part, it's listed or defined as supports healthy community. And I would just like to see that expanded to say something like supports physical and emotional health of community members. And I say this because I know that the amount of anxiety that a lot of young people have in our communities and communities nationwide and worldwide really related to what our ecosystems could look like if we don't take these actions in our sustainability plans, that level of anxiety is very high. And I think it should be acknowledged as part of social factors. And I think the younger people of our community would be very appreciative to know that we are working on a sustainability plan. So I just want to say thank you again.
Additional comments? It sounds like we're wrapping up here. Okay, we're going to wrap up the workshop portion of your agenda, and then we'll turn it back over to Board President. And you can continue to post notes, and we have the additional input we have here from the community that we'll add to the boards here. And Matt, I believe you have some closing remarks for us.
Thank you, Joan. And again, thank you to the members of the board. Your insightful feedback is very important to help us develop those purpose statements, those visioning statements, and to make sure that as we're analyzing the universe of measures, that they align in this body's strategic vision and values. So we appreciate that time. April, if you could pull up the last presentation, this is just a formality as we wrap up here tonight, but certainly want to provide you and as well as those attending virtually or on the phone our appreciation and then just a quick recap of what we've discussed here tonight. and what's on the radar. Next slide, please. So again, this workshop was recorded and an audio link will be provided on the website at www.yourscvwater.com. Again, it's an audio link. The video is not included. It's audio link at www.yourscvwater.com. Next slide. This is the sustainability plan is one of the many planning efforts that the agency is working on, and you'll hear more from this group and the feedback we received tonight, but also issues that, again, there's overlap and various different efforts, including Water Resiliency Initiative and the Water Use Efficiency Strategic Plan. Next slide, please. So for those who attended the, again, virtually, we had interactive engagement polls. Thank you so much for taking time to provide your feedback and spending your evening with us. And for those who attended via phone, they had an opportunity to email their comments to sustainability@scvwa.org. But then again, the public and those on the call or attending virtually will have another opportunity to provide comments following the workshop. Next slide, please. Tonight's objectives were to share information on the sustainability efforts and evolution of the planning process, engage the board in developing the sustainability action pillars that build on SCV Water's mission, reliability, cost effectiveness, and resiliency, and provides opportunity for the public to learn about the process, provide input consistent with SCV Water's commitment to transparency. We thank you again for your time and spending your evening with us. What a lovely Tuesday evening we've had. Next slide, please. And as we noted before, there are so many components to sustainability sprinkled or embedded intrinsic to the work that this agency does to accomplish its mission to serve clean, reliable water at affordable costs to our community. So that finding that definition was not very challenging. However, putting it into the context of sustainability in that environmental scanning component that I mentioned before and into a program requires more in-depth thinking, more strategic thinking, as well as the development of performance measurement and management, which is essentially based off of KPIs that, again, allow us to effectively monitor and measure, learn and adapt in alignment with whatever measures that we're putting into the plant so that they conform and meet the goals that the agency has described to you. Next slide, please. Through our planning process, we saw there were numerous gaps, which I shared in the first presentation. And with that, we reached out to RINCON to provide us with their subject matter expertise and to help guide and derive and develop their knowledge resource and their knowledge, their wealth of knowledge into the plan development. Next slide, please. So far, we've already developed a baseline of our greenhouse gas emissions based off of the types of energy that we used and its source fuel. So we can look at that based off of the historical energy use. And with that next slide, we kind of get an idea of the forecasting when it's aligned with state state mandates that we expect through SB 100. Though I do think we will add another slide to this that shows how energy consumption is changing over time, because this provides a little bit of a makes it look like all the energy usage is reducing, but really what is reducing is the embedded emissions in that energy. So it's important to note those differences. Next slide, please. We've identified the sustainability strategy development, including goals, measures, and actions. Again, sustainability plans or many plans are essentially the curation of strategic vision, the strategic alignment, and essentially developing visioning, value, and mission statements salient to the topic or the function of that particular plan. Next slide, please. As previously shared on many slides, there's a significant amount of funding available through the federal government, through the state government, which prioritizes sustainability and or sustainability / climate action plans, in which case both of those are integrated into this planning effort. At least that's the current vision. Next slide, please. all of that leads us back to the impetus or the genesis of this specific effort, and that is the SCV Water Strategic Plan that was adopted in 2019 that provides that framework and, again, that inertia to get us rolling to essentially achieve managed natural resource use and then align that with the larger pictures of sustainability and operational sustainability and efficiency and effectiveness. Next slide, please. What will we do with the information that we received here tonight? Kearns and West will prepare a workshop summary and document that for our for the board and director input, and also that we can include in our documentation for the plan. We will also curate public comments and poll responses so that we can kind of see how those measure today with the information we shared and perhaps how those evolve over time or how they grow. Regarding SCV Water Sustainability Team, we're going to synthesize the input and feedback and sustainability planning components and analysis, identify values, metrics, and program recommendations that you shared with us tonight, work to inform the public and develop the public workshop parameters and initial measure assessments. We'll outline the plan guidance and framework, and with that, we'll develop a draft plan and disseminate for public comment before we return to this body for adoption. So, next slide. We all get a gold star. It's right there. We've completed tonight's workshop. And thank you again so much for your time. And again, to those on the call and attending virtually for sharing your evening with us. At that, we conclude our workshop.
Thank you, Matt, and Erica, and Julia, and Joan, and Ryan and Steve. Thank you all, and thank you, board, for your participation. We do have one more step we have to take. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment on the presentation that was just concluded?
We do. Just one moment. Ms. Kaufman, you may begin your public comment. Ms. Kaufman, try that again. There we go.
Okay, am I unmuted now?
You are, you're ready.
Oh, thanks, April. And hello, everybody. I do want to thank all of you. I'm amazed. I really am. This virtual workshop was so important. And I'd like to thank the board for inviting us, the residents, to be a part of this. I wish we could have been a little bit more involved. Small complaint is I could not tell who was speaking when. I could just see you folks from, is it Kearns and West? Is that who you all are? Just nod your head so I know. I could not see who was speaking. You were all so tiny, but so I couldn't tell. And I could not even tell. Thank you. And I couldn't even tell which board members were speaking other than three of my friends on the board. So I'm overwhelmed. I'm really surprised and grateful. And I hope we can do things like this much more often, but with a little few more chances for us residents to have some time to ask questions as well and have comments. And I did want to mention something that I know one of my friends who's a director might not appreciate too much, but because it's a complaint, a personal complaint about some of us just can't afford all these things. And I know somebody, one female director brought up the environmental thing. And I, most of my life have been an active environmentalist, but there are certain things that I just can't do anymore. I'm stuck in an inexpensive townhouse where I get Social Security of $777. And till now, my $350 of that goes to HOA dues. And on June 1st, it's going up to $400. So the latter is what I have to live on. So the problem is, of course, I can never afford to get an electric car. never. I can't even afford to get the installment into my little garage to plug it in. But those are the things that just drive me nuts, because I care so much and I'm one of those people who does everything right. So I just wanted to throw that in. It doesn't probably matter to any of you, but there are so many hundreds, maybe thousands of us who live here in Santa Clarita who are in that same boat. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because here I am doing everything I can, and I can't do everything I can. But I thank you all so much for doing this. I'm grateful as can be, and especially to my three board member friends. Thank you all so much. Good night.
Thank you, Ms. Kaufman.
Thank you.
Do we have any other public comment, April?
We do not.
Oh.
Was that a no?
No, we do not.
Thank you very much. Well,
President, I think Martin,
we've all had an opportunity. Oh.
Well, I just wanted to ask if we're getting ready to close the meeting, if we could close it in the memory of all those children that were lost.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that if we are getting ready to close the meeting, if we could close it in memory of all those children that were lost in Texas.
Okay.
Because that's such a sadness. I just can't even imagine it.
Okay. Unless there's any further discussion, I think we've all had an opportunity to engage in question and answer with our panel or with our team. So with that, as requested by Director Planback, we would adjourn in the memory of all the children that were lost in the most recent school shooting in Texas. And with that, we are adjourned.